Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 102. And Dave, we are amongst it inside a week now until the NFL Draft. And just for our listeners, obviously there's tremendous draft coverage on ESPN, the NFL Network, all of that stuff going on. But if you're interested in hearing it from the Steeler Draft Headquarters, we will be on the air at 8 o'clock on Friday, starting at 8, at 7 o'clock on, 8 o'clock on Thursday, at 7 o'clock on Friday, and at noon on Saturday, taking you through the entire draft on each of those days. I'll be doing the coverage starting at 10 p.m. on Thursday night, so I should be there in the room when the Steelers, not in the Steelers room, but on the air when the Steelers make the pick. We'll hopefully have Kevin Colbert and the position coach of the player who's chosen. Same thing on Friday. I'll be anchoring the coverage at the end of the day, and then I'll be 2 to 4 Saturday. So if you're looking, you know, look, if you're watching on television, I get it. But once the Steelers make the pick, if you want to join us and hopefully hear some insight from what's going on from the Steeler Brain Trust, we'd love to have you. Okay, so Dave, with that, we're finally in there close, and you guys are doing an awesome job with all these write-ups of the various players and the mocks and everything else, so we got plenty to talk about today.
Absolutely we do, and the NFL 2017 schedule was released on Thursday. What is it about, I think we say this every year, what is it that's so magical about the schedule being released every year? It's not like we didn't know who the Steelers were going to be playing this season, as is the case every year. I mean, we know who the Steelers will be playing, you know, each season immediately after the 2000, you know, after each season ends. So, you know, regardless, it still seems to be exciting. And boy, the NFL sure knows how to string things out just perfectly to keep everybody's attention, around the nation, if you will, or keep them active, if you will. And that was definitely the case when the schedule was released on Thursday.
Yeah, and obviously we look at it, and everybody's got a different place to look in terms of what's going on. But the very interesting thing to me, Dave, I'll give you a couple features that jumped out, is it's the Steelers open the first 7 weeks of the season. They have 6 1 o'clock games. And just from a person sitting in my chair doing the post game show, that makes life easy. And, you know, it means I can write and do the things that I do after the game, Charlie and I on the post game. So that's nice. And then all of a sudden, needless to say, the world switches. And the NFL, I think they looked at their ratings last year, and there were probably two ways to attack that and try and load up with big-name teams early in the season in prime time. They didn't do that, certainly on the Steelers' end of things. They just said, everybody's watching when the weather's less good, and we turn to November, so let's just jam the Steelers in prime time every week. And that's really what they did. I mean, from the game against the Lions October 29th, they are a feature game at 4:30 against the Patriots. They've got, you know, 1 or 2 1 o'clock games. They're on Christmas at 4:30, and the rest are night games. It's crazy how the Steelers' schedule plays out.
Yeah, you can cancel your DirecTV subscription after week 7, right?
right.
I mean, you can call up DirecTV and just ask for retention and see if they'll cut you a deal for the second half of the season, because you're probably not going to need it to watch the Steelers. And heck, who knows how many of these first 7 games will wind up being broadcast, you know, on regular network as well too. So, yeah, I think the thing that jumps out immediately. Look, I thought if you go back and look at the Steelers' last 2 seasons, they opened up on the road. I would have bet a lot of my money and your money that the Steelers would have opened at home this year. I think some people reached out to me on Twitter and said, yeah, that makes sense. The Pirates are out of town. I think they, I can't remember if they said the Pitt Panthers were on the road or not, but I certainly would have bet that they would have opened at home after opening out on the road the last 2 years, but they'll open on the road a third year in a row. And David, I'm hearing some echo. Okay, I got you. Okay, yeah, they'll open on the road against the Browns, and they'll close their 2017 season against the Browns as well. So,
and is that the kind of how many? I mean, we've seen them play the Browns late in the season a lot. I feel like they've closed with the Browns, you know, half of the last 8 years at least. I'm sure that's not right, but it just certainly feels that way. We've rarely seen them open. You know, we can go back. Way back and find times they opened the Browns. I don't remember them opening with the Browns anytime recently.
No, I can't off the top of my head. I could probably research that real quick, but let's just say I certainly don't remember the last time they opened against the Browns and closed against the Browns.
They finished with the Browns this past year, right? And then they finished with the Browns a couple years ago when Ben got dinged up. That's a while now, but I feel like they finished with the Browns a bunch.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Browns, you know, sandwiched in between the Browns or after the Browns, I should say. Well, three of the Steelers' first four games are on the road. So, you know, even though if you look, I think NFL Research posted last night that the Steelers have the easiest strength of schedule of all NFL teams through the first four games of the season. Opposing winning percentage based on last year is 313. Their opponents in the first four games, Cleveland, Minnesota, Chicago, and Baltimore. Their only home game of those first four are in week two against the Minnesota Vikings. You know, look, I mean, the Browns game, the odds came out almost immediately. The Steelers are 9.5, open up as 9.5 road favorites against the Browns. You know, I would be surprised if, you know, barring anything major happening, that the Steelers don't kick off that game as more than a touchdown favorite. The Vikings, who knows what we're going to have with the Vikings this year. Obviously, they'll be without Adrian Peterson. That defense has come around for them. The Bears are an interesting week three opponent. Going to have Mike Glennon, who I think we all remember last time the Steelers faced Mike Glennon, right? In the game against...
He was good.
Yeah, the game against Tampa Bay, that the Steelers, weren't they double-digit favorites to win that one? Seems like they were. But, of course, the Bears.
That was an insane game where the Steeler defense got exposed again with, you know, up the middle of the field, no safeties in the middle. That's Lewis Murphy, right? Was that the?
Yeah, good memory. I know Murphy was one of them that victimized them in that game kind of late, you know, there. But the Bears, that'll give us a chance to see Glennon, of course. It'll give us a chance to see former Steelers wide receiver Marcus Wheaton as well. The Bears, you know, look, they weren't a good team last year. You would think that they're going to be a little bit better this year. And then, of course, in week four, you play on the road against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, Dave, the thing that jumped out just in terms of sequencing, and, you know, it doesn't mean anything, but the last time the Steelers played this division, you'll remember, they went to London for week four against Minnesota. They started 0-3, and then they lost that game in London to the Vikings to go 0-4. I feel like I remember, again, I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I feel like they had Bears, Vikings back-to-back. And I feel like they played the Bears in week three and the Vikings in week four. I'll look that up. So that would be, what, 2013 when they had that rough start. But, you know, that is what it is. They get a 425 game at Kansas City, which if you look, you know, the Ravens in Baltimore is obviously going to be a tough game regardless. We'll see how the Jaguars come around this week. But the at Kansas City game is the only one here early that gets some kind of prime time. Then you get back in the division with the Bengals, and then they go to Detroit. And there was a lot of speculation yesterday on Twitter that the Steelers might be in Detroit for Thanksgiving. And good gracious, yeah, that didn't happen. It just, you know, the Steelers have done a lot of things, and having to play three holidays last year, you know, there was no chance they were going to be on Thanksgiving. Now, I have to say, at the same time, I'm a little surprised because they did get Christmas again this year, a 4:30 game. There are a couple games that day. They're at the Texans. Dave, I saw some people say this to me on Twitter, that they were surprised the Steelers were playing on Christmas after having played Christmas last year and the players being so disgruntled. I don't remember the players being disgruntled last year. It was a home game against the Ravens, and am I misremembering?
James Harrison, I don't think, was too happy about it. It probably weren't. I can't remember back that far what the players possibly thought. But
I just felt like since it was a home game, they kind of, you know, I don't know if the Steelers changed their policy or whatever, but they got Christmas night at home, obviously. You know, maybe they weren't home for Christmas Eve, but they allowed the players to go home in the morning or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's not ideal, but, you know, it is what it is. And obviously, you know, we can say the players work. I also have to work. So it's you'll be working. I wouldn't sign up for it, and I don't have to go to Houston. So there's that. But that's kind of the feature there. And obviously going into that game the week before, you had the Patriots in a Week 15 game, which very much, again, if you're just guessing where things sit right now, and, you know, we're way over analyzing things, but, you know, that could be a game for home field advantage in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, the thing, too, Art Rooney II didn't have very glowing comments on Steelers.com about having to play on Christmas back-to-back years. Here's the thing, too, is Houston, it's either Houston or Kansas City is going to be the furthest place that they travel this year, right?
I'm looking at obviously Chicago's not far. They got the division games, Detroit, Indy. Yeah. So yeah, Kansas City or Houston, again, another season of not having to go to the West Coast or anything like that to England or any, you know, and it's not like the schedule bends their way. It's not like the teams they play at home would be, you know, a long way to travel either. So
What I'm getting at is not only do you have to play on Christmas, you have to make your furthest road trip possibly of the year. I don't know the mileage. I would think Houston's probably a little bit further than Kansas City, but
yeah, probably. But you know, and they got to find a charter flight to get them there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But
as American dropped the Steelers as their and a bunch of other NFL teams, not the Cowboys, but the charter service that the Steelers had used, American got out of that business.
So looking at the bye week, depending on how you feel about bye weeks, right slap dab in the middle of the season, right after their week 8 game against the Lions, they get the bye, and then I think if you divide this thing up as to what's the tougher half of the schedule of the two, I think it's easy to point to the second half of the season, not only because of the opponents, but because of, look, you got four consecutive primetime games in there. Forget how many of these are short week situations. And, of course, you have the Christmas Day game against Houston in Houston. And let's just hope you don't need that. You know, let's hope you can rest your people again in Week 17 at home against the Browns.
Yeah, just one short week there, and that's coming off a long week when they go 10 days from the Titans to the Packers. They play Thursday. Obviously, they have the short week for the Thursday night game, the Colts prior, and then the Titans at home on Thursday night, and that should be a fun one. And then they have 10 days, so you can just pencil me in for vacation on Thanksgiving week, Dave, because Steelers will play Thursday. We'll recap the game on Friday, and then they'll be – not playing again until Sunday night against the Packers at home as well. So that's a nice stretch for them over the Thanksgiving break. And then they've got, the 4th is a Monday night. So after Thanksgiving, they come back and play on Monday against the Bengals and then the short week into the Ravens. So that's, if you're going to complain about something, that's probably it. But the schedule's really, I don't know. I think from my perspective, a fan's perspective, I think it's a pretty great schedule. The Steelers get a chance to make some hay early. You know, if things go according to plan, I'm sure they'd like to say 6-2, 7-1 into the bye week and then take your, chances. Who knows how good all these teams, who knows how good any of them are going to be, but you really are lined up in the second half of the season with, potentially all playoff teams. You got the Browns to finish things, and we're not going to talk about them as a playoff team. Very different views about where the Bengals are this season. Every one of those teams, it'll be a challenge. So, we'll see. But for me, as somebody who works the days of the games, The first thing I do, look at the bye. When's the bye week? What's going on around the holidays? And then fill it in from there.
Yeah, rest up. We'll have to rest up during the bye week for sure, because there's going to be a lot of, I know for me,
a lot of late nights.
Yeah, not that I sleep much anyway, but boy, those four primetime games in a row, geez, we won't be even hitting the tape on those things until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. Luckily, you know, I live in the West Coast, a little bit earlier for me, but going to be an interesting run. All right, prediction time. I'm not going to go with my annual 10-6.
I know you're going better this year.
I'm going better this year. I'm going 11.
You get to make another prediction on, you know, August 30th.
Sure. I'll go 11-5 right now.
All right. I'll be the clown who goes out on the limb and go 12-4.
All right. I can't get you to 13-3.
Probably, you know, maybe on Friday morning after the first round of the draft when they take Mitch Trubisky.
I hear you. I don't know how other, what else is there left to kind of analyze about this thing? You know,
I'm sure people are thinking we already did too much. So let's probably move on. So you got your latest mock out, and you know, this is always entertaining, and
go ahead and mock it.
Well, here's the thing is, I looked at this and the first pick I like, it's, we're going to get asked to do a bunch of mocks, you and I, to represent the Steelers and picks. And, you know, if I were just lining things up, if somebody said, if I go and do one of these national mocks, or I've got to do some in some different cities and represent the Steelers. So if Tack McKinley's on the board, I'm taking him. You know, the question is, of that group of guys, who on the board, if you could have them all there at 30, who would you take? So that'd be one guy. TJ Watt, who you have listed on your mock, absolutely. You know, you got to like the pedigree. I'm less concerned about the overall injury perspective. He played last year. I like the pick. So, but, you know, if Marlon Humphrey's there, does that change things? You know, which of the corners are there? I know you like him. He's a guy who – if you do that in the first round, where do you go in the second round? And we've talked a lot about this already. This isn't new stuff. So then for those who haven't seen it, Dave has Josh Jones, the safety from NC State at 2, and Rasul Douglas, the corner, West Virginia at 3. And I'm a big fan of Rasul Douglas. If he were there in the third round, jump up and, you know, run the card up. So love that pick. I know less about Josh Jones. I just tell you, I why don't you give me some insights on him?
Yeah, you know, he's one of those guys that can be considered a hybrid type guy, a guy that can play in the slot for you, a guy you can have on the field in a dime situation, a guy that can cover. I don't know if poor man Sean Davis is a great example. I mean, some people are trying to push Josh Jones into a potential first round guy, trying to liken him to the kid from Florida last year that ended up with the Falcons. So, I think this team's going to draft a safety this year. I think it's going to be a hybrid type of guy. Shamarco Thomas is gone. Robert Golden's just a guy. Mike Mitchell's another year closer to the end of his contract. So I think you need to do something back there. And being as how they could use more dime defense, you know, a third safety on the field, a guy that can play inside the box, I think Josh Jones could be that guy. Now the question is, if the Steelers don't address the position in the first round, talking about, you know, a hybrid safety type guy, will a guy like Josh Jones still be on the board for him? They obviously have interest in him. They brought him in for a pre-draft visit. Like TJ Watt, he has some nice spark numbers. He can play in the slot. Like I said, he can probably play both safety positions. Well, he can play both safety positions, probably better in the box than he is as a deep safety there. So, I have flip-flopped back and forth several times as to which way I think the Steelers are going to go with their first two picks. I think it's going to be an edge rusher and a defensive back of some sorts. I just, is it going, which order is it going to come in? And You know, you asked about Marlon Humphrey. I just recently broke down all of his pass breakups and interceptions in a video for the site. I've been trying to do that with all the big name cornerbacks. To me, David, he's a little raw. He's one of those height, weight, speed guys right now. Now, of course, he played at a big program at Alabama. I know some people have him as their top three cornerback, as a top three cornerback in this draft. I don't. I have him as one of those late first to mid second round guys. I'm not convinced that he will be the pick. I could see him potentially being the Steelers' second round pick if they went edge rusher in the first and wanted to go corner in the second. TJ Watt, Josh Jones in the first two rounds. Rasul Douglas, you know, look, I mean, it's easy to connect the dots to him. Carnell Lake was at that pro day. They brought him in for a visit. Not blazing fast, 4.5940. I believe he plays a little bit faster on tape. He was, of course, a guy that not afraid to stick his face in the fire when it comes to tackling, a guy that can play press and off, although his press will need some developing because really I didn't play a lot of it. I don't believe at West Virginia in what I saw. So you connect the dots. The Steelers could use another outside corner, a guy that big. At 6'1", 209 pounds, and not afraid to tackle, he kind of fits the mold in the third round for the Steelers.
Yeah, and like I said, I like him. I think that's kind of a reasonable value pick. Just looking through the draft, and people can take a look at this. I mean, you had Joshua Dobbs in the fifth round, a QB from Tennessee. Excuse me. And I like that pick. Look, I don't want him to take a quarterback. That pick works for me if they're taking a quarterback. James Conner in the sixth, and Javonsi Jones out of Jackson State, who there's been a lot, you know, we got some emails about him. We know the Steelers looked at him in the pro day. All those kind of fit needs, guys they've looked at, those are names kind of we're familiar with here as we go into the draft. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the kid from Nova?
Oh, yeah, Tano Pass.
Now, I thought you were – I was the one espousing defensive line earlier, you know, in this whole process, and you kind of shook me off on that. I'm a little surprised to see you go defensive line here with the supplementary pick.
You didn't. You missed my article a week ago, didn't you?
I obviously did. I mean, one of the great things and one of the difficult things is when there are 20 articles a day, it is hard to see every one.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull that up. How I started that. I'm trying to find it here, but where is it? I can't find it, but I started it off something to the effect of no way, no how, ain't going to happen. And I quoted myself there, and I said those might not have been the exact words I used several weeks ago when first asked about the Steelers drafting the defensive lineman this year. Gave way to the possibility of one, maybe sixth or seventh round. And then kind of judging by the pre-draft visits, that the Steelers had specifically or the interest that they seemed to show in guys like Chris Wormley and Tano Passignon out of Villanova, I said, well, maybe there's something to this. And the reason I'm kind of giving way to a defensive lineman, it's because if they're willing to do so and willing to do so in the first 2 days of the draft, I think it would be because they want to get a very athletic one, one that can play and get after the quarterback, out of kind of a nickel type situation. And really it's all centered around Passignon and Chris Wormley, two really athletic freaks. I mean, Passignon really can move, even though he measures in at almost 6'7", 289 pounds. The Steelers have shown very productive getting after the quarterback at Villanova, a guy that can play on his feet. Yeah, I mean, several people are classifying him as an edge, but if you want to give him a couple of Permanis sandwiches, keep him on a diet of those for the first couple of weeks, you can get him up to 300 pounds and try to turn him into a 4i or a 5-tech, if you will. And that's where I'm giving way when it comes to defensive linemen, David, is only if they draft one that's athletic, that can be on the field, you know, and get after the quarterback. Let's face it, LT Walton, he made some progress last year, but he's better against the run than he is getting after the passer. Johnny Maxey, nice story, but I mean, let's face it, if they don't have the injuries they have last year, Johnny Maxey probably never gets promoted from the practice squad. So that's the only way I'm willing to concede the fact that the Steelers go defensive lineman in the first 2 days of the draft, that they get someone like a Passignon or someone like a Chris Wormley. Like I said, both guys uber athletic that can get after the quarterback.
Yep, that all makes sense. Look, you know where I've been on all this edge rusher and corner in the first two rounds. I'm a little less in the safety camp than most, but certainly, as you know, if you're following what's going on and who's come in, that there's ample reason to believe they may go safety. And so, you know, if they get a hybrid guy that kind of fits that, I'll still stick to my running back view that, you know, by the time we're having breakfast on Saturday morning, there's a running back in the mix. What's interesting is, Dave, a lot of people, and you're one of them here in the next round, think wide receiver. And I guess that's exactly kind of where I would put wide receiver as well. I probably, when the season ended, depending on the Martavis Bryant news, I probably would, you know, was less eager to, you know, particularly since they signed Justin Hunter, to draft a wide receiver. That to me is the most, I guess the position that I am least certain about what the Steelers' view is of what they have. We saw guys have some level of productivity, and we've talked ad nauseum about Kobe Hamilton and third down catches, and we've talked, you know, a lot about DHB and his ability on special teams, and you know, the fact that Tomlin loves the guy. But are these guys worthy of roster spots? Are they going to make you know, your 53-man better when you're playing the Patriots in Week 15 and potentially in the playoffs? So those are going to be the questions. How do you upgrade there? Are you going to get somebody in the fourth or fifth round who can do something for you? Because you figure if you get a guy in the fourth or fifth round, and you know, Shelton Gibson's a perfectly fine example, that guy's not going to see the field if things go the way the Steelers want early in the season as a wide receiver. You got Eli Rogers. You know, we'll see what happens. DeMarcus Harris is a huge wild card. Assuming Bryant and AB are healthy and on the field, you know, they're going to get, you know, those are the guys who are going to be getting snaps for you. And then, you know, Sammy Coates is another huge wild card. So any receiver taken, if you're taken after the third round and you're a wide receiver, you better be able to play special teams.
David, as you sit here right now and you look at the Steelers' wide receiver group, and if you were to label them X, you know positions they play, X, Y, Z type thing, and let's assume Martavis Bryant will get reinstated and will be part of the equation in 2017. Which position has the less depth?
Well, you know, since AB can play anywhere, what are you classifying him as?
Kind of an X.
The X. So I would say the other wide receiver, the slot position with Eli Rogers and Ayers and being able to move AB around. Look, they may draft a guy who looks like a slot guy, and Marcus Wheaton, hopefully, you know, ideally would have done more of that last year. I think a lot of guys can play in the slot. So, you know, I feel like. Well, I don't know. Maybe the answer is behind AB because they don't have anything behind AB. You know, but you play a guy in the X or the Z, you hope guys can do both of those, right?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously want to cross train your guys, and you ended up talking yourself in the direction I was hoping that you would go. Eli Rogers still has some developing to do, but there's definitely something there to work with. DeMarcus Ayers, we don't really know enough about him right now, but you know, I think he's I think he can play in the slot. We'll definitely see, you know, as training camp progresses this year and into the preseason and all. But and that's why I chose Shelton Gibson out of West Virginia, because I think he has look, you went out and you got Hunter, right? He's a stretch to field guy like Martavis Bryant. Now, obviously, you can't put those guys in the same category, but you know, they can do a lot of the same things with speed and taking the top off the coverages. Darius Heyward-Bey, we'll see if he lasts. He's another stretch to field kind of guy. But I think where you really, really hurt and where the Steelers might go in this draft is a guy that could potentially play on the other side and do the things that Antonio Brown does. Shelton Gibson played the X receiver spot at West Virginia. Boy, he registered 20 catches of 40 plus yards and 13 catches of 50 plus yards over the course of the last two seasons. He had very few drops on his way to catching 84 passes for nearly 1,900 yards and 17 touchdowns in 38 games that he played in. He's a willing blocker. He can also return kickoffs. God forbid you need that. And to me, he's a guy that he can play special teams for you too. I think he's a guy, I think, physical enough that can give you, you know, other than a return role, maybe be part of a few special teams. So that's why I chose Shelton Gibson in the fourth round. Look, not a blazer, but neither was Antonio Brown. But if you go look at Shelton Gibson's tape, boy, he can get on top of people in a hurry. So that's I think the Steelers will draft a wide receiver this year. I hope it's not in the first three rounds with the first four picks, but anytime after, you know, round three, I could potentially see that happening. They brought in quite a few guys, receivers for pre-draft visits, so I'll be surprised if they don't go that way. Round five, you talked about Josh Dobbs. Yeah, I had to shoehorn a quarterback in here somewhere. I'm not sure if you watched the Gruden QB camp with Josh Dobbs. Oh boy, what an extremely likable guy. Rocket
Aeronautics, aerospace engineering.
Yeah, rocket scientist, if you will, almost. But he has a lot of traits. I think he has some upside to him to potentially become a serviceable number two quarterback, and I think he'd look great in the fifth round. The Steelers brought him in for a visit, so there's definitely interest there. I think if you connect the dots, I think it's either going to be Kaya or Josh Dobbs, right? If they draft a quarterback. Round six, David, I'm sure by now you've seen the letter that James Conner wrote to GMs around the league, as if you needed any other reason to root for a guy like James Conner. If the Steelers wait on a running back, and I think if you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together, let's face it, David, this team's going to sign Le'Veon Bell to a long-term extension here before the July 15th deadline. They went out and they got Nile Davis, signed him during free agency. Fitzgerald Toussaint, some clay there still to work with should something maybe happen during, you know, offseason or preseason or training camp. Why not wait? Why burn one of your top four draft picks first three rounds on a running back when you can have a guy in James Conner, not the most elusive dude, but a guy that can power north and south and wear down defenses late in the game and save some wear on Antonio Brown? Sure to me makes a lot of sense late in the draft.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he's there in the sixth round. I'm probably not as high on him as, you know, a lot of people in this area. I saw some people have him going in, you know, late day two.
There is a lot of backs in this draft, David, that teams could live with, I think. I mean, if you get past, you know, the Foremans, the Max, the Samajays.
Yeah, you know, that's the guy I was looking at, is the kid from Marlon Mack, a kid from Clemson.
Wayne Gallman.
Gallman, right.
How many running backs are going to go in the first, you know, four rounds?
You know? Well, you know, just speaking about backs in general here, what's very interesting is that a lot of people, I mean, it's pretty much, I've heard it's been guaranteed Christian McCaffrey will go in the top 15, and a lot of people have him in the top 10. Just think about where we were, Dave, you know, 6 weeks ago when you were asking people, do you think Christian McCaffrey's a first-round player? Now it's, is he going to be a top 10 player? So he's a guy who's completely solidified his spot. Dalvin Cook's going to go somewhere in there. Obviously, Fournette's likely to go top 10. So we could see three backs in the top 15. Joe Mixon's the wild card. I mean, I don't have any idea if Joe Mixon goes 25 or 45, but I will be surprised if he goes, if he does not go by the second round.
I mean, just continue running through these running back names, David, and you can start to see why there's a chance that a guy like Connor might still be on the board, you know, late fifth, sixth round. I think I'll be surprised if Connor. I'm gonna read off these names to you: Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette. This is a guy that's not talked about a lot, but Dane Brugler's kind of high on him. Curtis Samuel out of Ohio State's, you know, a guy nobody's talking about that could go in the first three rounds. Alvin Kamara out of Tennessee, Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine, Kareem Hunt, another guy that's not really getting
a from Toledo, right? Yeah, he's going to go in the first three rounds.
All right, Marlon Mack out of South Florida, Wayne Gallman. Jamal Williams out of BYU, TJ Logan out of North Carolina, Jeremy Nichols out of Boise State, Dante Foreman out of Texas. I mean, you see where I'm going with this. In fact,
yeah, I mean, I know all those guys, and I think, you know, I can stay with you through 10. Those three guys you named in front of Foreman, I'm less familiar with those guys and don't have a good handle on what they look like or what their styles are. But I think every other guy you read is – you know, I think you're right. You're still kind of in round three.
I don't think all those backs are going to go in the first three rounds. Also, I'll be surprised. All right, here we go. How many running backs are drafted in the first four rounds, David? How many running backs will be drafted in the first four rounds?
10 to 12.
I'll take the under on that. I'll say eight.
All right.
Here's, you know, of course, Dane Brugler's not the Bible on this,
but Dane's very good. I'm a big fan,
and I am too. I buy his draft guide every year because it's just that thorough and that good. He has James Conner as a sixth or seventh round guy.
I think James. Excuse me. Sorry.
Look. The letter to the GM. It's a great story. bless you. But I mean, is it gonna affect?
No. But that's the whole thing. Is the overall body of who James Conner is gonna move him up around because somebody says, look, this guy, you know, the measurables maybe aren't perfect in terms of speed and things like that, but unbelievable productivity in college, a guy we want as part of our organization. You know, he might not be here in the sixth, so let's take him in the fifth or whatever it is.
Okay, and yeah, would you take him in the fifth? If you're the Steelers.
No, I wouldn't. It's not the back I'm looking for. I'm looking for more of a speed back if I'm the Steelers. With Nile Davis already there, he is not the guy I'm looking for. Now, if he's there in the seventh round, would I take him? Yeah.
Would you take Connor in the sixth?
Yeah, you know, flipping coins at that point, you know, depending who's on the board. Again, it's not obviously anybody would like to have James Connor associated with their organization. So I guess my answer is still kind of no, because stylistically, he's not the guy I'm looking for.
Almost sounds like a Star. Almost sounds like a Star Wars quote. not the droid you're looking.
Exactly. There you go. That's good. I like that.
I like James Conner. I hope he's a Steeler, and I hope they get him in the sixth round. There, I said it. Javonsi Jones out of Jackson State, another kid. How can you not root for this kid if you read up on his backstory and all? This is a guy, David, that the Steelers have shown some interest in, along with the Jets are the two teams I think that really probably have the most visible interest in him. A guy that played on the edge at Jackson State that showed during the All-Star game that he can play off the ball, maybe inside linebacker in a 3-4. I think that's potentially his best fit. Maybe when it comes to the Steelers, a guy, and look, let's face it, I mean, the Steelers move their inside linebackers all around. We've seen Shazier and Timmons come off the edge before. Javon C. Jones can do that. If he can make an impact as a special teams player, if drafted by the Steelers, you know, in training camp, I think there's an outside chance he could be a sixth or seventh round guy. With some upside to them that can make your 53-man roster. So that's why, you know, look, there's enough buzz about Jones right now that you might have to get him in the sixth, you know, if you want him. But overall, top to bottom, I feel like my mock draft got pretty good reviews, which is strange, to say the least. Now, it obviously won't go the way, you know, perfect the way I have it laid out, but I think a lot of people could live with a lot of those picks there. And once again, I find myself flipping back and forth between an edge rusher and a defensive back when it comes to the first round selection, and that gives us a you know, perfect time to segue into another mock draft that took place on Thursday.
Let me just ask you first, before we leave, our buddy Dane Brugler, he has Jabril prep. Jabril Peppers going to the Steelers. If the Steelers got Jabril Peppers, would you be happy?
That's kind of where I was going with this. In the LA Times beat writer mock draft that Sam Farmer, who, by the way, is a great person, great follow on Twitter, conducts every year, Jerry Dulac picked for the Steelers, and he picked Jabril Peppers 30th overall. And of course, Jabril Peppers has been off and on mocked major media to the Steelers in the first round. Of course, you had the report by Didi Kinkle-Bwala a few, 11 days ago, saying how Kevin Colbert loves Jabril Peppers. Here's the discussion about Jabril Peppers. That everybody's hollering about, including me. Where was the production at? And I think you have to back it up from there. This is a kid that had to play linebacker at Michigan due to injuries or whatnot. Played safety the year before, an uber athletic guy. Now, why didn't he make plays? Well, I spent an hour last night going back through some more of his tape. Now, when you line up a guy like him in a slot, normally his back's going to be turned quite a bit to the quarterback, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to, you know, it's not like you're playing with the football in front of you. I think that had a little something to do with it. And look, I mean, how many linebackers make interceptions? You know, how many slot guys?
Because he has such good ball skills, you know, being a return guy and the other things he can do, it really doesn't bother me. That I know that's something that a ton of people have focused on, and it's not, that is not a reason for me.
Okay, agreed. Now, another knock on him is when you look at his film, when he's kind of playing more of a traditional inside linebacker spot, you're not going to want a lot of that with him because, I mean, those guards will get out on him and manhandle him. Okay, I mean, he's not a buck linebacker. Okay, he's not built to take on fullbacks or guard second level guards. I mean, that's not something you want him to do. He is a guy, and you probably have heard this mentioned about Jabril Peppers quite a bit throughout the draft process, pre-draft process. If you draft a guy like Jabril Peppers, you better have a distinct plan for him and how you're going to use him. And I think a team like the Steelers would have a distinct plan for him. Look, I don't know if you saw the article that Alex did five, 6 days ago about these hybrid safeties and all like that. Look, the Steelers made a play at Dante Hightower, and the further I get away from that, I'm so glad they didn't get him and spend that kind of money on him, because I just don't think he can do some of the things that you would want a nickel type player to do. I think this, I mocked Josh Jones to the Steelers in the second round. I think the Steelers want a hybrid guy. And I got to thinking, okay, let's go back to this lack of production, thing on Peppers here in his time at Michigan. And let's go back many moons ago to this guy named Troy Polamalu when he was coming out of USC. Do you remember what was written and talked about Troy Polamalu leading up, you know, kind of to that draft?
I don't.
It was more like, what is he? Is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? He's a heavy hitter. He's an uber athlete. Now he obviously had a little bit more production than Peppers did. In fact, what Polamalu had six interceptions during his college career. Three of those returned for touchdowns. I think he had 13 deflections, two fumble recoveries, and four blocked punts. Well, you know, how did the Steelers use him a lot during his career?
He played. Whether we want to call it freelancing or not, he played close to the line of scrimmage. He was very much a you know, what do you want to call him? I mean, he was your hybrid linebacker for sure. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Right, right. And you remember that rough rookie season with Polamalu's?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we know that he is the example that we always point to where you take the big step the second year.
Okay, now in no way am I comparing Jabril Peppers to Troy Polamalu. However, he's got the athleticism. He's got experience playing safety, linebacker. He can play in the slot as a slot defender for you as well, too. I guess where I'm going is it's making more and more sense. And thus why it's fathomable that Kevin Colbert really does like Jabril Peppers and that he could be the first round pick, I guess, is where I'm going with this.
I don't think it's impossible that he could be the first round pick. And I'm not, you know, again.
And if you would ask me this 3 weeks ago, my nose would have been turned up a little bit more at it. Okay. But
let me ask you this. Tell me the difference between Jabril Peppers and Sean Davis going forward.
I think Peppers is gives you more of a guy that can – a more fluid guy, I guess, in the slot. You know, a guy that can probably cover a little bit more off of the line. A little bit better change of direction. A guy that's
– The only reason I don't see the Steelers going Jabril Peppers is I feel like they have that guy. And do you want to 2 years from now be pairing – Peppers and Davis as your safeties? I don't think so. So, maybe I'm underselling Jabril Peppers' athleticism, because I do think he's a really good athlete. And he's got plenty of speed. And maybe those two guys can play in the secondary together side by side for 5 years going forward.
Well, Jim, that
would be the question I would ask about drafting him.
What did the Steelers try to do with Sean Davis initially last year?
Obviously, he was playing corner. I mean, they used him in a variety of roles as a corner because Artie wasn't ready. Artie was hurt and he wasn't ready.
Right, and once they moved him and gave him more traditional safety role, he got a lot more comfortable. Now, does that mean you can never use him? Kind of, here's what I think. If you were to draft, regardless of a, let's call him a nickelbacker or hybrid, whatever label you want to put on it, imagine if you got you a good hybrid guy in the first two rounds of this draft, the things that you could do with that guy in nickel situations. You know, I mean, you could have your three safety. You could have Mike Mitchell, Sean Davis, and whoever. nickelbacker, your hybrid guy on the field quite a bit, to be quite honest with you. And if you have two guys in Sean Davis and Jabril Peppers that you could, one playing, you can create some interesting mismatches. You put line Davis up in the slot some. You can move those guys around, give you some versatility there, and at the same time get Vince Williams off the field in those situations. So I'm warming up to the idea, and really I suggest everybody go read that article that Alex did on kind of the hybrid safeties and how they fit and what the Steelers tried to do with that last year with Robert Golden and how it kind of failed. And I think it gives more credence as to why you would like a more hybrid guy this year. And kind of going over Jabril Peppers' numbers, 4.46 40. He had a 19 reps on the bench, a vertical of 35.5, a broad jump of 10 foot 8 inches, a short shuttle time of 4.11. And check this three cone out, David, 6.99.
There's no question he's athletic, and he can do a variety of things. Let's just throw a couple comparisons out for you. If you could have Buda Baker or Jabril Peppers, who are you taking?
Oh, wow. Man alive. Probably Buda.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me, actually. That's a tough one for me. The whole thing is, I haven't quite bought in as much as a lot of the local media who have done a good, they do a good job covering the draft. They know, they talk to people, Dale and Jerry and all these guys. They know what's going on. So I say this, that they may know more than I do, but I still am leaning kind of a big corner. With as we've said, edge rusher for me, it's been corner more as opposed to defensive back, and a bigger guy, an Artie Burns type of guy. So, I would, that's kind of where I would go ahead of the Buda Baker and Jabril Pepper guys. But we'll see. I mean, again, and we talked about this when you and I spoke last Friday. If I could guarantee you Derek Rivers was on the board in round two. Well, then you'd go find that defensive back in round one. And that's, I think there'll be a little bit of that game playing for the Steelers, that it's who's on the board at 30 is going to decide which position they go to at 62. Because I can't see them going two edge rushers, and I can't see them going two defensive backs with their first two picks. I really do think it'll be one of each like you do. And, look, we've been saying this for 5 months. This isn't any secret. We're just now within 6 days we'll finally get an answer.
Yeah, and here's the thing. When you pick at 30th overall, I don't think the Steelers right now have written in a pin on their board, must get edge rusher 30th overall. That's why I keep thinking it's probably going to be the best available edge, hybrid guy. And because look, we don't think either of the Ohio State cornerbacks. I think I'll be surprised if either one of those guys fall, right?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they fall to 20, let alone 30.
Okay. Just because I have a little bit of difference in Humphrey, Marlon Humphrey. I mean, there's a chance Marlon Humphrey could be off the board. I view. The more tape I watch on Marlon, you want to talk about a guy that really didn't make a lot of plays, interceptions and pass breakups, it's Marlon Humphrey. I mean, he really did, David. In fact, you can judge the length of these videos, that I'm doing, these compilation videos by the time, the run time in them. And I think his was only like, 4 minutes or so. And I think a minute of those are different angle replays of breakups. He didn't have a lot of pass breakups, and he didn't have a lot of interceptions. I mean, he's a height, weight, speed guy right now and how much of his play, look, that Alabama defense is never shabby each and every year. So how much of that hid, he has a problem getting his head around to find the football at times. Regardless, I'm just not that high on Humphrey. Now, I like the kid Trey White out of LSU, who was, I mocked the Steelers in the first round, you know, in mock draft 2.0. I like him, but once again, he's not an extreme measurable guy, but his measurables compared to a guy like Artie Burns, he's a guy that can play outside and in the slot. And then, look, if I can guarantee you a guy like Rasul Douglas in round three, does that change what you're doing?
Yeah, that's the thing is I.
Unfortunately, we can't do that
because I think it's really harder. I think it's harder to project corners than a lot of other positions.
Boy, how weird would it be after not drafting a cornerback in the first round since the earth was cooling? for them to go cornerback first round back to back years, that would be something. When you get in when you get past those top edge guys, I can't help but think that a guy's going to be on the board. Let's say they don't go edge in the first round. I can't help but think a guy like Lawson or Rivers. Or, someone else is going to be
on. Surprised to see Lawson fall in a couple of these drafts. Harris, who do you like, Harris or Lawson? Rivers is, yes, exactly. I'm very interested to see where Derek Barnett goes. Is he going to go in the top 10? Is he going to fall to 25? I mean, here's a guy, if you want to say, I'm trying to think of an example from last year's draft, and I don't have one right off the top of my head, but a guy who doesn't have all the measurables, but who was a good football player. And you just, all of a sudden, Steeler fans, I'm sure, are just having visions of Jarvis Jones, productive college player who doesn't have all the measurables, but you like what he did on the field. He's an interesting guy for me to watch. He's not going to be there at 30. I'd be shocked, but he is interesting. And if he was there at 30, I'm sure everybody in the world would say, well, you have to take him. I'm just going to be interested to see how he does in the draft and in his first couple of years.
And who, Steelers were at the Tennessee Pro Day, everybody, Colbert, Tomlin, I think wasn't Keith Butler there. I can't remember if Carnell Lake was there. I get some of these all mixed together here. But, look, I mean, why were they at Tennessee, it'll be interesting.
Kamara would be the other guy that, who knows.
And Dobbs and
Dobbs, yeah.
And then there's the other cornerback there that's more of a mid round guy, a guy that over a year ago many touted as a surefire first round pick, but he didn't come out. I'm trying to I had a loss for his name all of a sudden here. What is that kid's name? Was it Coleman? Tennessee. Oh, Cameron Sutton is another guy. Remember a year ago, people were before it was announced that the kids had declared Cameron Sutton was showing up in mock drafts in the first round to the Steelers. Now, obviously he's fallen quite a bit. Dane Brugler has him as a fourth round draft pick now. So they very well, he's a guy that would fit good probably in the slot with the Steelers as well. So, he's another guy the Steelers could have been there. There are a lot of kids at Tennessee they could have been there to see. But, all right. Well, my final mock draft will be out when next Wednesday. I'm trying to pull up some of these questions we got, David, to close out to close out the show. Do you have any in front of you?
Yeah, we're at the hour mark. Why don't we hit the we'll certainly do something Monday, and then maybe we'll do something Wednesday, a short one on Wednesday going into the draft. We'll be busy on Friday. We'll definitely have something out on Friday. Are we going to do our contest?
Yes, we are. I'll get the rules up on that one, as long as well as the other, the normal Steelers Depot draft contest. I'll get those up here in the coming days. Those forms for people to fill out as well too. And David, I'll go with you off the air. I think we just try to do what we did the last few years to make it simple as far as that. So look for that on Steelers Depot as well. We'll go over the rules associated with both those contests. Just so I can say, we answered a few Twitter questions, David. David, here we go. One from John Stewart on Twitter. Of the first four picks, how many do you want to be on defense? What do you predict for actual? Is our number two wide receiver on opening day on the roster now?
What was the last one?
Okay, the first part of the question was of the first
yeah,
four.
Yeah, three of the four are going to be defense, and that's what I want it to be.
Yeah, I would concur. In fact, even though my mock, I had first four picks being defense. but I would go three or four there. And the second one is is our number two wide receiver on opening day on the roster now?
Well, Martavis Bryant's not on the roster right now, so no.
Trick question, I suppose. I guess it depends on how you want to look at Martavis Bryant then. This one from buddy Victor Perry. If these three are available in the first round at pick 30, who do you take? Tim Williams, Jabril Peppers, or John Ross?
Not Tim Williams. I would take Peppers.
I would take Peppers too. I don't know if you heard Michael Lombardi on a podcast this past week said there's some medical concerns evidently about John Ross. I haven't listened to it myself. I got it secondhand. I had to research that a little bit more. But I think if forced to pick between Tim Williams, Jabril Peppers, or John Ross, I would take Jabril Peppers there. From girlfriend Melissa Kara, any wide receiver in draft look like they can return kicks and punts? Need explosiveness on special teams. The kid.
They got the return guy. I hate to say it, but Nile Davis is going to be the return guy.
And didn't Gibson return? A guy that in my mock, I think Gibson returned some as well too. So there's a few of them out there for sure, Melissa. That can. We'll see. But I think as David, even if they did draft a corner, a defensive back. Even here's the thing about Jabril Peppers. He could do that for you, too. He can play running back if you want to. I mean, the guy really is versatile. And if you want to talk about a guy that's really polarizing, it's him. So
let me throw one name at you that I don't know that we've mentioned. Speaking of this and the return guys, and we can do whatever with Mike Tomlin and offensive players being return guys. Any interest in Adoree Jackson?
I think there's some. I mean, the Steelers don't look like they've shown outward interest in him, at least publicly. That doesn't mean they haven't. I've been kind of stuck on him being a second to third round guy. 5'10", 186. I mean, blazing fast, 4.38 40 time. A little bit shorter arms at 31 3/8.
I think he'll go in the first 10 picks of the second round.
Wow. I'll take after that.
Okay.
Where does
right.
it, where
good.
Does
we've got this is going to be fun. We do all this stuff and kind of at 30,000 feet, but now that we're getting into it and getting close, we got a chance to get into the details. And as I say, we'll have a lot of stuff on my show. And of course, I hope you'll tune in while you're watching TV or whatever with the draft coverage. Guys get some of these picks early. There's been a concerted effort to have things not be too early. Last year I was in California, so I didn't, I was trying to do this while going to a wedding, so I wasn't everybody's fan favorite. I'll be fully ensconced this week.
Don't forget, Sidney Jones might be around in the third instead of Rasul Douglas.
You know how I feel about that. Absolutely must take if he's sitting there in the third round.
That'll be interesting for sure. It wouldn't be a bad choice between Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas. I think most of our listeners would probably be willing to take the risk on Sidney Jones and that Achilles injury that he had there. So definitely something. I've got 1 week to go here. I'm still trying to effort Dave T. If I get him, maybe Alex and I will talk to him on Wednesday, and maybe me and David will be back together on Friday again. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, go to SteelersDepot.com. Hit that donate button, upper right navigational bar, if you will. Wow, we filled up an hour.
We did. That we did. All right. Well, as always, stay with us. We got a big week coming up. Thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.